Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth. Thank you.
And what I got. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Mishpachah, brothers and sisters. Welcome to another Hebrew Restoration Assembly brought to you by the Social Change Action Network here on Blog Talk Radio. This is a day that the Most High has definitely made, set aside for us to worship and to come together. Sorry, we took just a little bit longer to come on, had some technical difficulties, still trying to get the chat room open. But we know that nothing shall separate us, stop us, prevent us. Separate us from the love of Ahayah, or even prevent us from bringing this Torah prophesying in the wind that we must go forward. What's a stumbling block other than just a stepping stone for us to go higher, to take it higher, and to be close to the Most High? I am your host. I am Elder V, Zach V, and I am also joined by Elder Andre. Let's see if we've got him out there. Elder Andre, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Welcome again, Ms. Bacot family, and happy Hanukkah to all of you who are out there who honor this particular festival. Happy Hanukkah to my Bishwakov family. Welcome to another Shabbat.
And you kind of said to all that honor it, and I'm hoping all that are listening do honor it, because this is one of our feasts, our festivals. We are not going to get caught up into this pagan holiday known as Christmas, because it is a strong spirit. Me and others were talking just the other day about you walk through the mall and them songs get to playing, and you get to see it in trees, and everybody's got a false happiness and want to treat you nice and patronize you for this time of season. And it's easy to be lulled to sleep and to fall into it. But Mishpachah, Hebrew Israelites, shake yourself. I want to make it clear that I don't want you to fall into that sleep. I don't want you to fall into that slumber. I don't want you to get caught up into that. It's impossible. It's impossible for those that have been called out, that have been awakened. It's just impossible for you to want to have the nerve or the idea or the mindset to want to go back. Anything you want to say about that before I get into a little information dialogue about this Feast of Dedication and Feast of Lights? Because I'm going to go ahead and start with that, and then I'll let you go into the laws.
Oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, we know Shaul said in Colossians 2:16-17 that the Israelite feasts, our Hebrew Israelite feasts and celebrations, were actually a shadow of things to come through our Messiah. So we may not commemorate all of them, and we're hoping that we'll go to a point where we begin to commemorate all of them, because I'm in a mindset where we're taking back what belongs to us. Time out for the converters, the Khazarian converters, to celebrate something that was initially given out to us and put out for us to be Kodesh and to recognize. And so we are in a position where we're taking back everything that was stolen from us. And we will begin to commemorate it and celebrate it as we are awakening as well. And that's the disposition that we take even right now, so that we take a stance and let the world know that their fathers have taught them lies. Now, Hanukkah, the Feast of Dedication, which is also known as the Festival of Lights, the Feast of Dedication or Hanukkah is our holiday. Well, I shouldn't even say holiday. I won't even say holiday. It's our festival and celebration set aside by the Most High to be Kodesh. It is also known, like I said, as the Festival of Lights. The Feast of Dedication, its biblical basis and its traditional observances, seasons, facts, and interesting revealing the fulfillment of the Messiah. This time of observance is normally around Kislev, which is November or December. It begins on day 25 of Kislev and lasts for 8 days. This particular year, it's recognized on this particular day is the first day, and it goes for 8 days. Prior to the year 165 BC, Hebrew Israelites, people who dwelled in Judea, were living under the rule of the Greek kings of Damascus during the time of Seleucid King Antiochus Epiphanes. The Greco-Syrian king took control of the temple in Jerusalem and forced the Jewish people to abandon the worship of Ahayah, their holy customs, and reading of the Torah. And he made them bow down to the Greek gods during this time. Now, according to all the records, King Antiochus IV defiled the temple by sacrificing a pig on the altar and actually spilling its blood on the scrolls. Now, he had enough sense to even know that the pig was an abomination, an unclean animal, and detestable, which is why he purposely slew a pig on the altar and allowed the blood to hit our Hebrew history book, our scrolls, to desecrate the altar purposely. Now, as a result of the severe persecution and the pagan oppression that started during that time, a group of four brothers led by Judas Maccabees decided to raise up an army of fighters. Now, these men of fierce faith and loyalty to Ahayah became known as the Maccabees. This is one of the books that was taken out of the Bible that they don't want you to read about because it points out so much in history as it pertains to the desecration of the altar with a pig, making it even more clear that you should stay away from pork, how they overcame and took back what belonged to us, which is what we're doing by celebrating our feasts. And there's another miracle that I'm going to tell you that happened during this 8 days. And so I say that so that you can expect provision, miracle, and strength for your battles in these next 8 days. I know I sound like one of them old preachers right now. But
that's
when we
right. Go ahead.
We call Ahayah to take some of the going to get it. Small band warriors fought years from Shemaim until achieving a victory. Syrian control. From the Syrian control, we are in the final stages of captivity, which is why I want you to have a mindset of taking back.
You're breaking up. If you can hear me, I can't hear you right now.
Okay, Elder, I was actually booted out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just dialed back in. Do you know where I left off?
No, I don't.
Okay, let me pick it up where I think I left off, but I just happened to look down at the computer screen and doggone it, Blog Talk Radio kicked me out. Wow, I was telling the truth. I must be talking good. So let me continue. After regaining the temple, it was cleansed by the Maccabees and cleared of all Greek idolatry. And I was saying, this is a good time to get rid of all idols out of your life, out of your house. All those things that were manufactured and made by man that sit up in your home or that you worship, clear it out during this particular feast. And what they did was they rededicated the temple, the rededication of the temple to Ahayah took place somewhere about 165 BC. So Hanukkah received its name, the Feast of Dedication, because it celebrates the Maccabees brothers' victory over Greek oppression and the rededication of the temple. But Hanukkah is also known as the Festival of Lights, and this is because immediately following the miraculous deliverance, the Most High provided another miracle of provision. In the temple, the eternal flame of Ahayah was to be lit at all times as a symbol of Ahayah's presence. But according to tradition, when the temple was rededicated, there was only enough oil left in the temple to burn the flame for one day. The rest of the oil had been defiled by the Greeks during their invasion, and it would take a week for new oil to be processed and purified. But at the rededication, the Maccabees went ahead and lit the eternal flame with the remaining supply of oil, and Ahijah's Kodesh presence caused it to burn miraculously for 8 days until the new sacred oil was ready. Now, this is why the feast is also called the Festival of Lights and why the Hanukkah menorah is lit for 8 consecutive nights of celebration. So I just wanted to point that out to you. This is our time. We'll take these 8 days to celebrate, cleanse the temple, take back what's ours. Don't get caught up into Christmas. Get caught up into the Hanukkah, Feast of Dedication, Festival of Lights. And remember that victory from that captivity, because soon we'll be up out of this captivity as well. All praises to the Most High. I would take a music break, but we played enough music in the beginning. So, Elder, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Okay, well, I'm just going to grab what you just said and bring it on into into today's lesson. As the Elder just said, that also this time of season with the Hebrews is Hanukkah or Hanukkah, but it's also called, like as he said, the Feast of Lights. And the Messiah said in John, if I can just go there, John 8:5, and tradition says he said this on this particular feast day. He said in John 8:12, he said that I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And if I can also go to John, let me go to 9:5 since I'm right there. John 9:5 says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And if we can go to John 1, and let me see. John 1 and beginning at 4, St. John 1 and 4 says that in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended his night. Comprehended it not. Then it goes on to say in verse 9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world, and so on. So it talks about the Messiah being the light. And the light also, Elder, also means all knowledge, all wisdom, knowledge, understanding. The Messiah is the answer to all questions that you may have. I'm not talking about stupid questions like, you just throw out a stupid question. But he's the sum of all things. And so anything pertaining to life, anything pertaining to even eternal life, and that's what the Torah really covers. He is the Torah. He is the light and the answer and the sum of all things. And so during this time of season, as we recognize him and we get, if I can just give honor to the Maccabean brothers who did this and rededicated the temple, and the lights was just shining all about the place, all around the temple, to show that their Most High was the light in Jerusalem, not only Jerusalem, but the light of the world. And so here we are as we go into the study of his word, as we go into his commands. Just keep in mind that the commands is everything that in the commands is bringing out the Messiah. it reflects the Messiah. So that's why the Torah has the or in it. Or just means light. And if you go to the Aramaic, Aretha, and I'm not talking about Aretha Franklin, just Aretha, which means Torah, you see the or in that as well, which means light. And so he's the light of these scriptures, and he brings out the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of our Father and of also of the Ruach, HaKodesh. If you want me to go on, I'll go on into the lesson today. I would like to talk about part of the family laws, which is honoring thy father and thy mother, unless you wanted to go into yours first, go into what you have in mind.
No, go ahead, Elder. Happy Hanukkah, Mishpacha. Let's move into the lesson. Let's get it.
Okay, so I'm just throwing in the light here as far as what the Messiah, what the word teaches us in this particular section of family laws, and it's in the commands. We are to honor our father and mother, and you will find that in Exodus 20 and 12. And I'll move on from here. Exodus 20 and 12 says, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which Ahiah, thy most high, or most high powers, giveth thee. So we are to honor our father and mother. So once again, if we go to Deuteronomy, which is Devarim, Hebrew Devarim 5:16, by the way, this is the fifth commandment. And let me see, 5:16 says, honor thy father and mother as Ahiah, thy most high powers had commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which Ahiah, thy most high powers, giveth thee. So so it was added, as you see, that not only that your days will be prolonged, but it will go well with thee in the land. Now, the thing is, combining these two, well, let's just go over the word honor. Honored is the Hebrew word kabed or kabod. That is to be heavy, to honor, to esteem, to glorify, to promote, and to make wealthy. Also in the Hebrew, it means the word liver, which is in our organ liver, which is the heaviest organ in our, you know, in our body. But so we are to, as people of Israel, we are to give esteem or give honor and glory to and promote our parents. Always speak good of them, never speak bad, always honoring them. And this is the problem that we have today. When I say we, I'm talking about us black folks, that we have today in this society. I see it all the time. I see it on TV, and wasn't too long ago. I mean, I'm talking about in just me growing up, my upbringing. That was not allowed. That was not permitted in our community. If a child goes off on his parents or argue with his parents, there was consequences behind that. And somehow, some way, we have gotten, well, once again, as the scripture says, we want to follow the Gentiles. We want to do what the Gentiles do, because the Gentiles, you know, they talk to their parents any kind of way. They disrespect their parents. And I'm about to go into some other parts as well. And so we see that on a daily basis. And we just picked up where they picked up at. And so now we just disrespect and our parents and talk to them any kind of way and argue with them and whatever else after that. But this is not the way of the Torah. This is not the way that the Most High said that we should conduct ourselves. Remember that we are to be, as the Messiah is the light of the world, he also said that we are the light of the world as well. And so we are to bring forth his light in the Mishpachah family, in Beta Yisrael, so that other nations can see how we conduct ourselves, because we are to be Kodesh because he's Kodesh. And so this is the problem. And so the word here says that that it may, going back to 20 and 12, that that the days may be long in the land. So so honoring your father and mother will prolong your days. And not only will it prolong your days, I mean, and the opposite of that is, if you don't, it'll shorten your days. So if anyone just want to just, you know, shorten their life, just honor your father and mother, and that's a guarantee. Didn't say in the word that your father and mother have to be holy or Kodesh. It just say honor your father and mother. That it may, in Deuteronomy says that it may go well with you in the land. And that word well is the word tov, good. And that brings me over to the story of it's apocrypha story of the person's name is Tob, actually, Tobiah or Tobit, how he honored his father and mother. It's two of them, it's Toby Sr. and Toby Jr., how Jr. honored his father and mother, and even though they were sometimes wrong, he still honored them. At the end, he ended up very wealthy, you know, and so that's just one part of that story I recommend that you read. But going to Matthew 15:4, the Messiah brings this up as well. Matthew 15:4, he's talking to the Pharisees, and he says, for the Most High commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses his father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his mother and father, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited me, and honor not his father and mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of the Most High none effect by your tradition, by your Talmud, in other words. And so what he mean by that, he's talking about the other subject, which is he that curses his father and mother shall die, and that's in Exodus 21:17. So as you see, to those of you who are in the Christian church, that he's going back to the Torah, back to the commandments, to refute these Pharisees and Sadducees. 21:17. And Elder, feel free to interrupt anytime you see fit. He that curses his father and mother shall surely be put to death. That's Exodus 21:17. That's another thing that I see almost on a daily basis, and it's just become, I guess, just part of society now, that, you know, you can just feel free to just dishonor your mother and father and curse your mother and father. And so he says that anyone who does that shall be put to death. Shall is you can say shall or certainly be put to death. Now, the elders and the people of Israel would have just stoned that brother right there or that sister right there. It wouldn't have been no problem, and this would have, they just would have went about their business. But now in this society, we can't do that, but the Most High would do it himself. I mean, you'd just be cursed. And so all because you curse your mother and father who raised you, so, you know, you can just feel free to just curse them out. And Y-Ikra, or Leviticus, says this. Let me just turn to it. Leviticus 20:9 says, let me know if I'm talking too fast. I don't mean to be. Says, for everyone that curses his father and mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father and mother, and the blood, his blood, shall be upon him. So it's not going to be nobody else blamed. It's going to be you. Your blood shall be upon you for cursing your, cursing your father and mother. You know, and go back to Exodus 21. I think it's 21:19 or let me see. Just 1 second. 21:15. So anyone who cursed their father and mother shall certainly be put to death, and their blood shall be upon them. 21:15 says, he that smiteth his mother and father shall certainly be put to death. So anyone who cursed them, if you dishonor them, if you curse them, if you hit them, you shall certainly be put to death. These things I'm mentioning because that's what's going on in our society. That's what's even going on in the house of Israel, that we just hitting, disrespecting, and now our parents is living in fear of us. We're living in their house because you're not man enough to get your own or woman enough to get your own, and you're living in their house. And you hitting them and cursing them out and treating them any kind of way. Let me just say this, because it's just on my mind, Elder. Anyone who disrespects their father and mother, your wife and your children don't stand a chance. Because if you disrespect your father and mother, you're definitely going to disrespect and abuse your wife and your kids as well. So if all you need to do if some of you are dating and you see how a person, whether it's the guy you're dating or a guy, whether it's the woman you're dating, if the guy disrespects his father and mother, I'm talking to you ladies out there, you better run for your life, because you already know that this relationship isn't going to work. And the same, brothers, if you see a woman just, disrespecting her mother or talking any way to her dad, you already know that if she treats her dad like that, you don't have a chance. And so it's a domino effect. It goes down to the wife. It goes down to the kids. And your family just going to be screwed up. And so I just wanted to throw that in there because it connects with everything else. It connects even with your worship. And so the last thing I want to hit on is Leviticus says for us to fear our mother and father, give them reverence. Let me see. There's another one I wanted to talk about. Let me see. Well, let me see. I think I already hit on this, but Deuteronomy, let me just turn here. Let's see, 27 and, okay, all Deuteronomy 27, Devarim, Hebrew word, 27:16, Musa or Moses is having the people repeat what he peeped. So he says, in Devarim or Deuteronomy 27:16, cursed be he that setteth light or dishonors his father and his mother. And all the people say, amen. All the people say, so it be. So what he does, what he did is, okay, I want you to say with your own mouth that I'll be cursed if I curse my mother and father, so it be. And so, you know, and so I just wanted to shortly just hit on that, Elder, because of the problems that we have in today. And also, there is one of the scriptures where right after that, when he says, honor thy father and mother, and then right, I mean, in the same sentence, and obey the Sabbath. So if you, he put it in the same sentence, honor thy father and mother and obey the Sabbath. And I wondered why he said that, but, you know, if you honor your father and mother, everything else should, according to his commands, fall in line. In other words, if you're not honoring your mother and father, you're not going to honor the Sabbath. Or if you honor the Sabbath, which, you know, you're seeking to obey his commands, then you're going to honor his, you're going to honor your father and mother. And so, you know, it's a connection. And so we, who wish to be like the Messiah, because the word Christian is just being Christ-like, which we are his Nazarenes, which is the watchers in the branches of him, and so we're connected with him. And so my call out today is for us to, along with the Messiah, because we are his priests, to be light of the world along with him, salt of the earth, and don't do what the Gentiles do, and obey his Torah commands, one of which is to obey our mother and father. And if we obey our mother and father, everything else is going to fall in line, meaning we're going to honor and we're going to respect our wife and we're going to respect our children, and it's going to just be a down, you know, it's going to be a positive domino effect instead of a negative, and that the other nations, the Gentile nations, will see how we treat one another, and, you know, they'll know who we follow, because our mouth will proclaim Ahaya, and so they too would seek to come to the Torah way of life. And so that's one of the subjects I wanted to hit on as far as in the family laws.
Most definitely.
Oh, and let me, sorry, let me just say this one last thing. There was nothing that the Messiah told us to do that he did not do. And so I just wanted to leave a reference with, in Luke 2:51, it said that, you know, that the Messiah was subject to his parents, earthly parents. And so he honored them, and when he was on the tree, he passed his mother on to his probably his most faithful student, which was John. And so, you know, I mean, so he did his job, and he showed us how to do it. So the Messiah didn't in any way disrespect his parents, like I heard in sermons. Where they said that, you know, he just talked to his mother any kind of way because he is the Most High and all this. That wasn't true. So, you know, I just wanted to pass that along, Elder.
All right, duly noted, well said, and most definitely needed. So, Fifth Commandment: honor thy parents, mother and father. I want to apologize to everyone once again for that chat room not being able to open and any technical difficulties, but we want to thank the elder for that lesson as well. We're going to continue with this lesson, and we'll finish it right on the other side of this small music break.
news for rejoicing. Now a new sun is rising. I count my blessings that I'm safe when I'm resting. Furniture in my nesting, not by force I'm suggesting. You count your blessings. I've got love and assurance. I've got new health insurance. I've got strength and endurance. So I count my blessings and give thanks to the Master that through all the disaster we're still here together after. Better count your blessings.
Count your blessings. Yo, this year, can't wait till it gets here. 7/21/09, my first son will shine. And it's amazing, I'm about to be raising another made man. And like his dad, they'll praise him, and some will hate him. Just cause we building a nation, like Bob did with Damien. The world will embrace him, girls will chase him. Foresee they will not break him. And when I'm not around, you look for God and thank
I've
him.
I've got somewhere to dress for, and I've got no need to stress for. And so I'll always put my best foot and count my blessings. And there's been no need for tissues. There's been no further issues. If you've got someone who missed you.
Shabbat Shalom, Ms. Pekah. We are back. Welcome to the Hebrew Restoration Assembly here on this Shabbat, where we come together to remember the laws, our culture, something given to us to be Kodesh. We just heard from Elder Ardre as he broke down the fifth commandment to honor thy mother and thy father. And it's definitely very important. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care if you haven't seen them, you haven't spoke to them. Honor them and keep them in mind for the things that they did when you were unable to do for yourself, when you were an infant and a child, because they were vehicles that the Most High used for you to come into the earth. When he chose you, he selected those two to bring you through. And so we want to remember that as a paradigm to be able to honor the Father and that female feminine spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh, wisdom, better known as Sophia, something we'll get into a little bit later in the coming weeks. I'm going to go to Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, that's before we get ready to close out.
You said the 20th or 28th?
Deuteronomy 28.
Okay.
Verse 9.
You want me to read it, or do you want to read it?
I'll read it. You got verse 9 and 10?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. You read it.
And Ahiah shall establish thee as a Kodesh people, King James says holy, unto himself as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou wilt keep the commandments of Ahiah, thy most high powers, and walk in his ways.
Okay.
And all the people of the earth. Oh, stop.
Yeah, right there. What I want to establish is how important it is for us to emulate the Most High and the way he set it up for us as Israelites to emulate him and represent him in the earth is to govern ourselves by set statutes and commandments. His commandments are not grievous towards us. They are way, causing us to become, if you will allow me to say, clones of the Most High. Because when you start to conform to the laws that he's given, you begin to walk in the same vein as he has established. And the third, the remnant that is awakening, he's instilling this in their hearts. For we know 2/3 of Israel will be destroyed, will not make it. We know that Israel is asleep in part until the fullness of the Gentiles come in, those that have been allocated to come in. But as far as the third that are awakening, those are the ones that are beginning to govern themselves by these Kodesh laws and commandments. The commandments that your church tell you is dead, not necessary, don't exist. That's why your church is lying to you. Your 501c3 government sanctioned church where there's no scripture that says the Most High's church should be aligned with a satanic government. There's no scripture for that whatsoever. No scripture. And furthermore, as it says in verse 9, that these commandments were given for that distinct purpose. Now, turn to Exodus 19 real quick, 19 and 5. And you'll see that the precept for that is that, I'll read that. Now, therefore, you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people for all the earth. So his intent is to make you a peculiar treasure. Does that mean you're going to stand out? That's definitely what peculiar is. It's when people say there's something different about this person. And we're going to get into the fact that even though you may be peculiar and you may stand out even amongst your family, because I think I could say this here. The elder was saying you need to honor your mother and father. And I know a lot of you are going through hell right now because you're not going to celebrate the holidays, Christmas, and your family is talking about you, saying bad words about you because you're separating yourself from this world and their traditions and their pagan festivals and their feasts. Do the best you can to not give into that, to honor them. If you have to go to the celebration, you don't have to compromise. You know, it would be an opportunity for you, if asked, to speak on what you believe in, but don't cast your pearls before a swine. Don't go in condemning. Don't go in throwing it out. Don't go in preaching. And no, be peculiar, be a treasure, and represent the Most High and walk in his statutes and commandments. Let's go to verse 10. Could you read that?
Okay, verse 10 says, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of Ahiah, and they shall be afraid of thee.
Key right there. The peculiarity also necessitates, I should say, it brings about this fear. This is very key. This is very key. I want you to see this, Hebrew Israelites. You don't need to go around all the time setting your face like a stone and like flint, because the simple fact that you're keeping these commandments, you're instilling fear in those that recognize. Israelites already have a natural way about themselves that causes other nations to grab their purse and lock their doors and move to the other side of the elevator. But even more so, when you begin to walk in the commandments and become Kodesh, I need you to understand there's an intimidating factor about you and a presence that's even stronger because you're becoming like the Most High. Ahiah is a not awesome, not just awesome, but I can also use the word terrible. And I don't mean terrible as in bad, but
terrible as in good.
Exactly.
In, yeah.
Yeah, the Christian church has painted him as a loving God. God so loved the world that he skips through daisies. Ahiah doesn't play. That's the God that they've created is another God that they worship. And we know Ahiah is a standalone. You can't even refer to him as God. And I'm sick of these Christian teachers who claim they have the truth saying that we're tripping because we've given him a name and they want to continue to refer to him as God. You relegate him to everyday status of all the other gods that are in this world. But I won't get into that. That's the it's a quad, right? The quad?
We say again?
The word is Yahweh, I believe that is. Remind me of he's all, he's I am, he's all standing all alone.
Oh, let me see. The word, well, there's Ani, which is I am, or Noki, and then you, which is the other word for Ahiah.
Right.
You know, which was saying that I am.
Right, right. So,
but the. The other thing too is when you said that the nation shall be afraid, that's why that the Christian church also is they're intimidated by us.
Exactly.
So that they fit right also in that category.
Exactly. They're intimidated by us rising up and coming into the knowledge of stuff that they wouldn't even preach on Sundays, and they realize that we're saying, how come you're not preaching this, and what about this? Because they're afraid of losing their money. Their 501c3 status, their members, there is fear because they recognize that you walk in truth and you have confidence in your truth and that you're knowledgeable, which is why we don't have to force anything. But what we have to do is be wise. That's why, Elder, I said, I guess we're going to have to get into wisdom and get into Sophia in the coming weeks. We probably will break that down, Most High willing, next week, where we'll begin to talk about Proverbs, the third chapter in the book of Proverbs, and wisdom, because we as Israelites are going to have to utilize wisdom in the coming years, because this war, this fight is against us, the children of Israel. And we're going to have to be wise in our preparation and our preparation for what's coming. Real quick, I want to get a precept for the 10th verse. I want to go to Numbers 6 and 27. Seems like fighting some type of cold. Numbers 6 and 27 says, "And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel. I bless them." Once again, he's making it clear that he has a name. God is not a name. It's a title, Theos. That is not a name. It's a title. He has a name. And he made it clear to Moses that when he said, "Who shall I say sit me?" He said, "Tell him the I am that I am," which is Ashar, Ahaya, which means in Hebrew. And that is his name. It's not Yah or Jah. Jehovah, it's not Jay-Z, it's not the God of wickedness, it's none of those things. It is the I am that I am, Hayabah Hashem Yesha HaMashiach. So let's look at another precept real quick, 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, and many of us should know that by heart. If my people, and who are his people? The ones that keep his commandments. He makes it clear. If you're not keeping his commandments, you're not his. If you operate with just grace and mercy and living up under Christian standards and keeping the laws of the church and doing anything and everything, eating anything and everything, you are not his. His people keep his commandments. And he also, if my people who are called by my name, that's what that scripture says. My people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Verse 15, now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. I want to get another priest. Elder, let's look at Isaiah 63 and 19.
Isaiah 63,
19. 19 says, "We are thine." They were not. Of the nation, because this is a prayer for vengeance by Isaiah. Get another one as I keep it moving. Let's look at Daniel 9:18.
Oh, you're breaking up, Elder. What'd you say?
Daniel 9:18.
Okay.
Oh, my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations. And the city which is called by thy name, we do present supplication before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Ahai, forgive Most High, hearken, and do defer not for thine own sake. O Most High, for thy city and thy people are called by. So there's a lot of precepts that break the name. I'm going to read one last one, Deuteronomy 11 and 25.
Daniel 11, 25.
There shall no man be able to stand before you for the Most High. So fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you set upon. There shall no man be able to stand before you. I shall lay fear of and the dread of you upon all the land. So this gets our original point of fear. If you have the name of the Most High, Haya Ashar, Haya, commandments, there is a fear that manifests itself in many ways around you when you strive. You have to be careful, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And in the coming years, I need you to understand, as we take back what's ours from these Khazarian people who converted into what was given to us, that a fear and intimidation will come, but know that there's also a protection that comes with falling in line with the commandments and the feasts and the festivals. So you don't have to respond and react, because Satan tries to compel you to respond and react to the intimidation and hatred that's thrown at you, because it's actually fear manifesting itself in another form. And if Satan can get you to come up out of your peace of mind and your focus on the Most High, and your intent in this earth, then you open up a portal when you get angry and you go for toe-to-toe. Hebrew Israelites, we don't have to step on and prophesy and get into these vain ideologies and strife and debates with people that are pointless. Stand firm and stand fast and represent the Most High by keeping His commandments and emulating Him and representing Him in the earth. And know that we don't drown trying to fear people, but they fear you because there's a presence on you, because you have a knowledge of something that was given to you that causes you to be Kodesh, set apart from every other nation. And I might as well say, nation today is known as race, set apart from every other race. And any other race that comes on board that wants to be a part of what we're doing, they must conform to these commandments, but they still must let the preachers preach and the teachers teach, because they were not called. The priest is Torah, or the teacher is Torah. So that's all I wanted to say, Elder.
Okay, I wanted to just add on to that. Let me turn to Matthew 16:19, I think. Let me see. Because I'm going to tell you why. This is one of the things that they fear is this. The Messiah says this, and I give unto you the keys of the kingdom of the Shamayim, or heavens, and whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And so that's according to the Torah. And so that's according to the commands. And so we hear that the Christian church uses this verse a lot. But if you're not obeying the commands, you don't have the authority to bind or loose anything. It's by the Torah commands that you obey and that you keep and that you guard, then you're able to bind or loose whatever. So whatever comes out of your mouth through the name of the Messiah, Yahushua, our Yeshaya, our Melech, and the King, and our Messiah, it shall be bound and loose. That's why you're able to cast out demons, and that's why you're able to heal the sick, and so on and so on, because you have that authority through the commands. And the scripture says this: he who the Son has set free is free indeed. Which means that if you cast these demons out, they're not coming back. If you heal somebody, they're healed. I mean, through the Torah commands, through the word. If you heal someone, and it's not like a temporary healing where you heal someone and then later on down the line they're sick all over again. We're talking about healed. That's why the Messiah was able to raise the dead and do all kinds of miracles, because he was able to bind and able to loose, and he's given that to the children of Israel, to his disciples. And so as we come today with the Torah in our heart, and let me just turn there right quick to Hebrews, I believe it's 10, and let me go here. Hebrews 10 and Ten and 16 and 17. This is the covenant. This is the berit, the contract agreement that I will make with them after those days, says Ahiah. I will put my Torah, Torahs with S, Torahs, in their hearts and in their minds. I will write them, and their sins and their iniquities, which is Torah breaking, I will remember no more. And so as we are coming out today, the remnant is starting to speak. The Torah is being put in our heart now, to where it's not like it was before, where we just didn't have it in our heart. They had it on a stone, but now we have it on our heart, and now we're seeking it with all our heart to obey these commands. And so we're not crying out to the church because the church is our enemy. We're crying out to the church because we came out of there. And, you know, we got family in there. And I'm just going to say, for me personally, you know, to my brothers and sisters, I'm talking about the black church, I personally love you. And so I'm calling on you to come to the truth and come to the true knowledge and forsake these lies and these traditions and come to the Torah way of life. Because there is a better way. We talked about this, Elder, recently, how if we think that just getting up on Sunday and going to church and listen to the choir sing and then, you know, listen to the preacher preach and then, you know, you, very little you go to Sunday school and then after that you leave and then you, you know, you do whatever you're going to do on Sunday, and then it just repeats itself. If that's what being saved is, then, man, I mean, that's not much. He has much greater things for us in his salvation. And so, you know, it's matter of fact, it's so much, it's all eternity. We're going to be learning about it for all eternity. And so so the question is, we're people who are fed up with this way of life. That's like, okay, I'm tired of these same messages. I'm tired of these sermons. I'm tired of these, just tired. Tired of being tired of this way, but you don't think there's a way out. There is a better way, and that's why we're here, and that's why the other brothers, you know, who are proclaiming the word, that's why we're here. There is a better way, and that way is the Torah way, and it's the most exciting way to live. And I just wanted to throw that out there, elders, so those who don't think that they just stuck in church, and you know, frustrated, tired of just being broke and giving your money every Sunday and don't see no results, there is a better way. And he's calling on us right now through his word, because the Son has set us free. And so he's calling on us to come back to that, to, as Yaakov, James says, the Torah of liberty. And back to, as James says, Yaakov, the royal law, the royal Torah. Come back to that. And that's true life. That's true eternal life. Obeying the commands will give you eternal life. The word says that. And so let's turn back to that light in this Hanukkah season, festival of lights, to turn back to his wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and his way of life. And I just wanted to throw that out there, Elder.
Well, I thought it was interesting that you brought up in the lesson on Wednesday that there was a reference to a Torahless people in the book of Enoch, which supposedly predates, anything with Moses. And so, I mean, that deserves a study within itself. But as far as the Torah having been around and that this is a mandate for our lives. So, I mean, that's something I just wanted to bring out that you brought that up on Wednesday. But just our Christian folks, though, we try to talk to everybody out there. If you're looking, some of you are hungry, thirsty, and tired. Don't go run to that church on Sunday. Ain't got answers for you. No 501c3 sanctioned religious entity that's connected to Rome and the Catholic Church, the daughter of the Catholic Church. They don't have no answers for you. What they have is more mind programming for you. If you're seeking the truth, pray to the Most High, a higher, that he leads, guides you to the truth. And get with your brothers and sisters out here in the airways if there's no assembly in your area, if there's no elders in your area. Soon, I believe the Most High is going to allow us to start congealing and coming together where we can start appointing elders to baptize people into this truth as we prepare for the coming of our brother, Yesha. Prepare ourselves. And this Torah, these commandments, these statutes are cleansing us and preparing us for what's to come. It is your protection. It is your protection. You know, I just want to put that out there, Zach.
For those of you who don't know with the 501, can you explain that to them?
I did a lesson on it, and I have a link. 501c3 truths. This was something that was established during Lyndon B. Johnson's time as a way of controlling the church, because we were using the church during the civil rights times to kind of galvanize and come back together for a period. And so what started happening is they started using 501c3 to give churches money to hush them up and to preach what they want them to preach. And so what you do is they make you think that you cannot operate as a gathering or an assembly unless you file documents with the government that give them control over what you do and what you say. And then pay off to the pastor, because they allow everybody that you give an offering in church, you get to do a tax write-off. If you're going to give to the Most High, Scripture said don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So they desecrate the Most High when they have offering time and everybody comes marching down and putting their money in the basket and gloating in the fact that they got in the $100 offering line, whatever that is. And then at the end of the year, you want to get a tax receipt to write it off and get money from the government. And the government and all this tax money, you being pimped, because that's controlled by the Queen, by the Brits, and the Federal Reserve. That money does not go to the government. That money goes towards destroying the children of Israel, because they know who we are, and they are afraid of our awakening and our rising up in this hour, our rising up through the galvanizing of the commandments. That's our solidarity, that's our commonality, and that's what's bringing us together as we form a nucleus to prepare to fight with our Messiah, Christ, as he returns. 501c3 is no scripture that says you got to be licensed to preach. You got to be licensed to come together. Most High never established that. He said for us to assemble ourselves together, and where two or three are gathered together. Right now, he's in our midst because we're speaking of him, and we're gathered together, and we're speaking to each other over this vehicle called the internet, the airways, which he allowed. Man may have think that he created it, but Satan tried to steal it, but we're taking back everything that he's trying to steal from the Most High. So the 501c3 church, and by the way, let me pull to the side and say this. Any Hebrew Israelite camp or group that is 501c3 nonprofit, so you can get money and write it off, you tripping. You tripping. Wake the hell up. You do not need to be a 501c3. That's a contradiction. If you're saying you're awake, you know you're a Hebrew Israelite, and you go get a 501c3 status so you can get money. It shows me what your intentions are off the top, that you have no trust and faith in the Most High to take care of you and provide for you and your Knesset.
Okay? So that's not a true sacrifice then.
Not a true sacrifice, because we do this without looking to receive. Now, those who want to sow into a Knesset, a ministry, so that they can further it, that's fine if you're inspired to do so. But those that are doing it shouldn't put it out there like, I need you to and I want you to, so that they can use it for their own personal gain. You know, we're supposed to give this without expecting to receive in return. So the whole 501c3 is set up so that the pastor can get paid and not have to pay taxes. They give him tax shelters so he can buy mo houses and live like a king. Come on. You've seen how some of these pastors are living. They got mansions. Do you think they're going to set that up? They hate us for preaching this message. They hate us. They do not want to give up that Bentley and those mansions and that lifestyle and the way they're living. So what is that? It's a false religion. That's what it is. It's paganism. It's idolatry. It's satanic worship. It's one of the 5 points of Isaiah 14, when Satan said, "I will be like the Most High. I shall be worshipped in the temple." Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what's going on.
And that's what pastors are. They are a lot of their members put them on a higher pedestal than the Most High.
Oh man!
Or the same pet on same level.
It's crazy. Talking about let's go tell the pastor. Let's speak to the pastor. Let's see what the pastor got to say. Oh, here come the pastor. Everybody stand up. What is that madness? He who is greatest amongst you, let him be least. Let him be servant. Let him clean the toilets. Let him be the janitor. You know they got this. This is all twisted. But all praises to the Most High that we waking up. So as we wake up as a people, listen. You don't need that nonprofit status. I have the Social Change Action Network is nonprofit without 501c3, and we've got money from major corporations. Sometimes we had other people use their little 501c3 in the world, other nations, to get the check and give it to us so we can give it to the community. And we've helped little children to get music scholarships and different things like that. If you really know that a higher is a provider, then you walk by faith and you trust him. And as long as you got food, clothes, and raiment, you don't need anything but what you have. He takes care of his. But as we just got through talking about, Elder, who are his? Those that keep his commandments, those that keep the laws, those that keep the Shabbat, the Sabbath, and those that keep the festivals. This is not a Jewish festival, Hanukkah. It is ours. It's about the Maccabees and them destroying the Roman Greco captivity with Antiochus IV. And what happened? You know, they had enough of watching that man desecrate the temple of the Most High and spilling pig's blood. And they said, we're taking it back. So that's how we got to be. We're taking it back. We're taking a stance and we're being called by his name. And we will represent him in the earth. And they will be afraid of us. And we will walk by faith. And we will walk boldly wherever he tells us to go. All praises to the Most High.
All praises to the Most High. I just want to lastly say that just as who the King James called John the Baptist, just as he went out to the wilderness, because he was a priest. Many people don't know that. His father was a priest, and you know, he followed after the order of his father. But he went to where everybody can come to him because his word was different. And so he was to bring in the Messiah. Our job is the same job as Yochanan or John the Baptist. Our job is to tell the world and tell our Hebrew brothers and sisters to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Right.
And he went to the wilderness so not only that the Hebrews can come to him, but also the Gentiles. And so we cry out to everyone to repent, because the kingdom of heaven, the Messiah, is on his way. And so you better do a teshuva in your life, do a repent, a turnaround, and come to him and get truly baptized in the Torah way, which is in the Messiah way, and in the Father, Son, and in the Ruach. And so we're doing what he's doing with John the Baptist has done, and some people say he was crazy, you know, just like the Pharisees and the priests and everybody else saying, this guy is weird, he's crazy, he's talking a different message, he's dressed crazy and everything else. But we're being called the same thing. A lot of us lost our family, lost our friends, kicked out of church. So on and so on and so on. We're being persecuted, But at the same time, you know, the scripture says that we're a peculiar people. John was peculiar. We're peculiar right now because we're speaking and we're preaching and teaching things that's not that people have not heard before that's in the Torah. That's been there all along. We just haven't been reading it and studying it. And so now we are. And people are coming now into this marvelous light. Being at the church says to be holy, true holiness and true being, true Kadesh. I don't even like saying holy because of the deity that is connected to, root word. But to be true Kadesh is to be is to obey his commands. And that's true Kadesh. That's true, you know, set apartness and sanctified for him. And so I just want to say that lastly that, you know, we're called for this time to pave the way and make the crooked road straight for the Messiah to come. And that's what we're doing.
Yeah,
knocking down mountains and filling in valleys.
Yeah, you talked about the persecution, man. So that's what's up. Everybody should be taking this persecution since they come into the truth like a man or woman and count it all joy. Because I don't know why, I don't know why, brother, most people still think they're going to escape persecution because we were taught about the rapture as Christians, thinking that we're going to escape persecution. That's a lie. You're going to go through it. So just take it like a man, take it like a woman and count it an honor, privilege that, you know, he's choosing you to be Kodesh and be awake for this time because you didn't choose it. You didn't come into the knowledge. He chose you.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he chose us, but let's walk worthy. Don't get arrogant. Don't think you got it made and live any kind of way. You know, shall we continue in sin? Most High forbid.
And as for me, older, hey, I was just minding my own business going to church. He called me out of that.
Yeah.
I didn't look for this thing or nothing. He called me out of this, into this. And I hear others' testimony in the same thing, including yours. You know, I was just minding my own business.
Right. Because most people want to take the path of least resistance, you know, and keep on, you know, celebrate these pagan holidays and be with their families and friends. And, you know, it's tough, but, you know, head up.
Yeah, one of the things I enjoy is that I'm saving some money. I know that. I don't have to deal with that no more.
Yeah, you ain't getting in debt this year. Hey, get the keys out your house. In the next coming weeks, we will be destroying this pagan holiday. This pagan, that's what we'll call Christmas. This winter solstice time of sacrifice of human flesh. We'll be destroying this in the coming weeks, Most High willing. And so don't get caught up. The most hypocritical time of the year. The most hypocritical time of the year. Do not get caught up in it. Do not be lulled to sleep. So listen, I just want to say Thawada for tuning in. Sorry that the chat room wouldn't open up. Sometimes Babylon Talk Radio, better known as Blog Talk Radio, they don't cooperate with us. But all to the Most High for the vehicle and that we're able to get the message out. Before we close out, I'm going to say, as we always say, the only sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. For truth is a journey and not a destination. I'm Elder V.
Elder Dre.
And enjoy the rest of your Shabbat, your Sabbath, and stand strong. And know that the Most High is on your side. Till the next time, Shabbat Shalom.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth. Out. and shirt and chase the devil out of earth. I'm gonna send him to outer space to find another race. I'm gonna send him to outer space to find another race. Satan is an evil old man, but him can't shock it on I man. So when I shake him, my last in hand, and if him slips, I got.
Keep on.